bald and blonde. Welcome to the Mindset Evolution podcast. Hear about tips, tricks, skills, tools, inspiration, mental hygiene. Know what you want and how to create what you desire to achieve predictable results and create a content life wherever you are. And here are your hosts, Kathy Tate and Daisy Papp.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution. We're so happy to have you here with us. I'm Kathy Tate, the Bald Warrior from Brisbane, Australia, and I am joined by Daisy Papp from Florida Keys. Hi, Daisy.
Hi, dear Kathy. Hello to Australia, to Tomorrowland. I know. Again, I'm behind. Well, I'm so excited that there's so many people joining us in our Facebook group, the Dream Life Creators. It is just awesome.
It is. We're growing so fast. We're so excited about it and the work we're doing in there. And we are so excited that we got so many jokes sent to us, didn't we, Daisy?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. And we had so much laughter and it was so much fun to read them. I even forwarded a few, and because I thought sharing the laughter is double laughter, because when I read it, I laughed once. When I shared it, I laughed again. And when I heard the other person laugh, I'm laughing one more time. So it's tripling. It's wonderful.
I love that.
Thank you so much for your interaction.
Yes, I love that. Now keep sending those, guys. And in a week, we're going to announce our favorite joke, but that will be in our Facebook group, Dream Life Creators, as Daisy said. So you need to join us there if you want your joke to win. And now I have to ask our audience, Daisy, who out there heard the episode, thought about sending a joke, and actually didn't follow through?
That is interesting, yes, because I wonder what was going on their mind. Is it the question, am I good enough? Is the joke good enough? Am I funny enough? Will my humor be accepted or not? Will my joke be embraced as funny? Will it really share some joyful moments? Will it create joyful moments for others? A lot of questions going on probably in those of you who did not share a joke with us.
Yes, absolutely. And that self-doubt is so common with most of us on the planet. At some point in time, we do experience that. And that brings us to today's topic, Daisy. I want to talk about being self-aware, having a self-awareness that you are experiencing self-doubt maybe, or some other emotion. Because I think that the first step to changing your emotional or mental state is actually being aware of the state you're in. What do you think?
Absolutely. I agree 100%, because I like to refer to my kitchen sink. If underneath it would be dripping and I have no clue where the water comes from, I cannot fix it. So in order to fix it, I need to understand it first. And therefore, when I don't know that there is something where I can improve in, then how am I going to improve when I'm not even aware that something is maybe a good idea to improve? It's like when you're out in a restaurant, and it happened to all of us. Maybe not. Maybe there are some lucky people out there. But I remember it happened to me that I was eating the beautiful, whatever, spring salad or the pasta. And then you have that little thing between your teeth. I have no clue because I don't feel it. But the other person sitting across from me, they see it. And they feel embarrassed that maybe I'm going to be embarrassed myself. And then they tell me, you have something there between your teeth. So I can only take it out when I'm aware that there is something, right?
That's a good example. Yeah, I like that. And I think it's important that we recognize that we're responsible for ourselves. So it can be confusing to be wrapped up in emotions sometimes. So I think we need to take a deep breath and just have a moment to actually feel what's going on inside. And that act of taking that moment is enough to bring yourself into an awareness of how you're feeling. I think it's when we are too fast or we're rushing or we just push things aside or we get caught up in the whatever emotion it is and sort of want to wallow in it a little bit because we maybe feel like we deserve to because something horrible happened. But
what is the horrible thing that happened to you? Come on. I hear a giggle. What happened? You want to share? Is it funny?
I'm just laughing at how I go off in these little tangents. But the point is that instead of getting carried away with the emotion, is to take that pause for yourself. That's something that I have learned to do because I used to get a little bit carried away with emotions, whether they were positive or negative. And I've certainly left myself sitting in victimhood for far too long over my younger years. And that's a real dangerous place to get stuck in because then we can't empower ourselves. Being a victim doesn't help anybody. All it does is just attract more of that negativity to yourself.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with you. And I can relate to that because I felt like a victim as well. Somehow I was rationally, literally, I was the victim of the accidents of my parents, being left alone, becoming an orphan. But the mindset of, okay, so I'm helpless, I'm hopeless, powerless, I'm out of control. And it takes a while to gain the power back. In order to do that, first, I needed to become aware that I gave my power away. Mm.
Yes, absolutely. And it was the same for me. I didn't really realize until I was older that I'd given my power to society and their social norms. And I was so scared of being different that I completely victimized myself and I got stuck there for a really long time. And it wasn't until I got shaken up by an interaction with another very strong person that I realized what I'd been doing to myself and then had to start taking the steps to taking my power back.
Mm-hmm.
Tattooing my head was one of the ways I took my power back.
The problem I see is that when something happens to us, traumatic, big or small, we're all traumatized to a degree. Let's face it.
Yes.
That's reality. What we do with it later on depends on us.
Yes.
That's our responsibility. Responsibility. The ability, how we respond to past events when we replay them over and over in our heads. And a very, very good step is to really slow down. Because this is not a horse race. This is not a dog race. We are here in this life for a limited time. At least I don't know anyone who got a life out of it. And another very important aspect I see now is the quality of people we surround ourselves with. Because as little children, we have no choice. We're born into an environment where everything was set. Either we had parents or we did not. Did we have siblings or not? Did we have grandparents or not? So it was already set before our arrival, and that was out of our control. I at least don't remember that I chose my family. I know there are spiritual teachers and they say, yes, you chose your parents. Maybe yes, maybe no. But let's stick with reality here for a moment. I don't know anyone who remembers when and how they chose their parents or family settings. Therefore, let's stick with reality in this aspect. The stage was set when we arrived. And we adopted and adapted to the norms that were in that stage, in that setting that was already existent when we arrived.
Right. So the cultural norms of the culture that you were born into.
Geographics.
The social norms of your society. Yeah.
Yes. Religion, faith.
Yeah.
Language.
Yes.
And therefore, as little children, we don't question if that's normal or not. We just take it in. Like a sponge that's dried out,
yeah.
And gets some water, and then it takes in everything. Then we become older when we become self-aware, meaning aware of self. That happens usually when children are the age between 2 or 3, because before they have a lollipop or something and they try to stick it in your mouth. They don't care. But then they realize, no, this is mine. And then little children like to say their own name. This is Maria's. this is Daisy's, I would say, or you would say, this is Kathy's. Mm? So that is when we become aware that there is a difference between me and the other, and there is somehow like a border where I end and the other person begins, where my belongings belong and where yours begin. Mm? And in many cultures, that is very different. And in many families, even though they are from similar cultural backgrounds, it may be still very different because of the emotional differences the parents came with or already had established when we arrived. Then when we get into puberty, the rebellious teenager years, then we question everything. It has to do a lot with hormones and growing up and a lot of changes going on in our bodies and in our minds. And then we find everything, oh, that's stupid. We loved camping and sitting in a tent or doing a fire, campfire, or going to the zoo or going on the ocean. But then when we are like these younger version of adults, like the teenagers, then no, everything is kind of, no, that's boring. We always did that. And then after that, usually when we get out of school, then there is a social pressure, what an 18-year supposed to do. The others are doing this, that, or the other. The neighbor's children went to university. You need to start with college so you can get there sooner than later. Rush, rush. And that is really confusing. That is really, really confusing because we do not know where to go yet because we did not have the time to develop our own self-stability because we learned in our upbringing, oh, I like vanilla ice cream. And let's say I had some mean children who bullied in the school and they said, these are bad girls who like vanilla ice cream. You need to love chocolate or strawberry because that's in. Mm? So the self-doubt is almost like injected. Mm? And that causes an instability that we can then turn around. The sooner the better. That depends very much on the environment and the people who we surround ourselves with. When I'm surrounding myself with bullies because there's nothing else I know, because that's how I grew up, then that will be familiar. I'm always going back to what's familiar. Everyone does. A woman who was beaten by her husband or a husband who was beaten by his wife does exist. Many, many cases I've worked with husbands that were physically, not only emotionally, but physically abused. And because there's so much self-doubt that was established within them through the circumstances and the individual not standing up for themselves for whatever reason, then the abuser implements even more that you're not worthy.
And it becomes a vicious cycle, yes.
I agree. Because it becomes a program now.
Yes.
The moment it becomes a program, a habit, a pattern, then that's the new standard.
Yes. Yes, it becomes your normal.
That's your norm.
Yeah.
The beaten woman or the beaten husband then goes back to what's familiar when they did not do the work inside that it's not okay to be abused in any shape or form.
And actually, I am going to put my hand up. I went back 6 times to my abusive partner when I was young because I did not know that I was worth more at the time.
Mm-hmm. You believed this was true.
It became my normal, yes.
You established somewhere at some point in time in your life the belief that you're not worthy and that's what you deserve. And then you accepted it. And unless you go in there, become aware of this subconscious program running the show for you, limiting you in everything you can do, but therefore can't.
Yeah.
Once you become aware of that subconscious program running the show, now that is when you can take action. It's like me with a sink, the sink in the kitchen, dripping and dropping. And only when I understand it, that is when I can fix it. And then it becomes very, very important that we surround ourselves with healthy, emotionally intelligent people where moral values and values overall and integrity are on a high level standard.
Absolutely. Yes. It does matter so much because speaking from the experience of someone having lived through a violent relationship, they isolate you as well. so that they are your main influence. And as the behavior is repeated over and over, it does become your normal.
Mm-hmm.
And that in itself is scary to realize that is happening. And once I realized that it was becoming my normal, I knew that I had to get out for my mm-hmm. child's sake.
Very well done.
Because I didn't want it to become his normal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was mm-hmm. probably my biggest fear at the time, that my son would turn out to be like that man. So that gave me the motivation to act.
Mm-hmm. Very good. I'm so glad you did. In addition that you did that, it's not only that the father or the partner would have taught your son how a man behaves as a role model, but also you teach him the model of a mother, wife.
Yes.
Woman.
Yes, because you're enabling it. You're allowing it to happen to you. You're giving your power away to this situation.
But you can only change it when you're aware of it.
Because
yes. It takes years, oftentimes, when I work with abused spouses. It takes a while. Sometimes it's going quite quickly. Depends on the individual and for how long they've been in there and what their social network is. Because if they have lots of support, it goes much quicker. Or if they're in so much pain that they just want to get out, then it goes yes. quickly too. But yes. if it's kind of, yeah, it's still the comfort zone, it is possible to reprogram, to recode all these subconscious programs that run the show. That's why we do self-recoding. Right?
Yes, yes.
And therefore, then, we overwrite the software. It's like when you update the software on your computer, you cannot go back easily to the previous software. Or on your phone, you cannot possibly go back to the previous software. And once that happens within you, and you consciously choose doing that, you say, enough is enough. And there is a compass, but that's subjective. When I see, hey, Kathy, why are you doing what you're doing? Or why don't you get out? It's not enough. You need to be able to see it. And there it comes back. For example, I have wonderful, wonderful neighbors. And they're God-loving people. They live on such a high moral standard and values standard and integrity level that is so uplifting. And I know that they as a couple over the past 50 years, they helped many individuals and couples get out of misery, emotional, physical, geographical misery. And they did that on such an absolute high, top level. I wish that there were copycats of them all over the globe because I would have a list of contacts where I can send people to where I cannot be there. So it's very important because when somebody goes and tells you 10 or 15 or 20 or 25 years ago, I don't know when you were in that abusive relationship, and somebody would have told you, if I walked in there to you and told you, Kathy, you are so much more worth and you do not deserve that. I wonder how you could have possibly reacted because your programs are always stronger than anything that you rationally can grasp.
Yes. Wow. I was an extreme case because I'd already had 15 years of conditioning that I was abnormal because of my hair loss. So he was just the next layer on top of that was cementing this negative view I had of myself. And I was so young, I hadn't realized what self-awareness was yet.
Exactly. You accepted him and his poor behavior because you already had a program running in you,
yeah.
in your subconscious mind, that something's wrong with you. Now, whoever's listening out there, I want to tell you the truth. Nothing's wrong with you. Whoever listens to this, nothing's wrong with you. Because you do exactly what you know how to do based on your conditioning and programming. Nothing's wrong with you. Stop judging. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I can see that it's a little touchy for you. Do you get the ocean in your eyes? Salt water.
I think it's something really important that we all need to hear and accept and take in, because I know Daisy says it with love and I feel it. And I have had such strong programming around being so different that it still comes up for me. Even now, I've tried so hard to evolve my mindset and my self-awareness and all the strengths I have inside me still pops its head up. It does for all of us, doesn't it?
You mean like a like a hiccup or something, like the crabs on my beach. Two steps to the right, one step to the left.
Yeah, we all have days that aren't as great as other days. I don't like to say the word bad because it's just a word. But we all do have days that aren't as great as other days. And in those days is when we want you to remember that you are enough and you are worthy and you aren't a victim. You do have power and we're here to help you take it back.
And another thing that is, I think, also important to understand that if you're a victim in a current situation, get help and then start working on your subconscious programs. Psychology and psychotherapy evolved so much over the past 3-4 decades that it is not necessary that you need to go in there and talk therapy for 20-30 years. We can make changes in an hour and a half, 90 minutes, and you will never be the same again. And no one will ever treat you the way they did.
Yes.
But it is internal.
Yes. And it needs that software programming change, which we call self-recoding.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. We talk to you in a moment. We take a short break and we will be right back. And I'm going to tell you a personal story where I was absolutely not aware.
And we're back from the break. Thanks for staying with us, everybody. I can't wait to hear your story, Daisy.
Ah, you see, now I made you curious. It has to do with self-awareness because I had a program running within me that might sound a little bit surprising to those who know me not that closely and to the audience and our Facebook group. But I was so scared of success. And the reason I'm sharing this with you today, because the fear is gone, but it was a huge lesson for me. I was able to sabotage all kind of incredible chances and opportunities that I had. And maybe we do another episode where we speak about our own aha moments, light bulb moments. That's a good one, maybe the light bulb moment. But what happened here with me is when my father was really on the top of his success, young man, 38 years old, he was out of this world, out of the box thinker. He was 50 years ahead in technology, which he did. He was an inventor and he was just brilliant. And when he was on the top of the success, he crashed in a car. He died. His parents died. And my mother barely survived. And I supposed to sit in that car.
And so you would have connected success with his accident.
I was not aware of that because there are a lot of things that connected to that accident. Then when I was 17, my mother was on the top of her success. What she did and built is just unbelievable. It was absolutely outrageously successful because she, as a lady, back in those days, the plane crashed in 85. Back in those days, a lady in an industry where it comes to electronics and security was unheard of. And she was at the top of her success. Now, my brother, he was at the top of his success because he was a computer geek and he was doing programs. So he was a coding guy and he translated the softwares between languages from German to French for a company that needed both languages. And in 1985, come on, how many computer programmers did you know, right? And he was in the top of his career, living in Paris, wonderful, and he was 24. And guess what? The plane crashed where I supposed to sit on the plane.
Wow, twice.
Now, I'm super lucky that I survived because I was not in the car and I was not in the plane. That's absolutely miraculous because I'm supposed to be there. And somehow, in my subconscious mind, they established some connection that, oh, if I'm getting successful, I'm going to die. Now, I had a young child, a baby boy. And of course, all I wanted to do, rationally,
yes,
to stay alive, make sure he is alive and well, and that I am not producing a repetition of the scenario that he won't have to grow up as an orphan, abandoned. Now, and I successfully dealt with that. So I kept myself alive. I'm here. My son is alive. He's here. And in the meantime, I was sabotaging every single thing, not consciously. Not consciously. And then, like 12 years ago, I had a brilliant idea. That is when I founded Self-Recoding. And I really was onto something. And I did not dare to publish it because it was so big and I was so scared. And then some years ago, I had no idea. How do you measure success? I was still successful, but what I really wanted to achieve, to go global, geographically with helping people.
Yeah.
It was like me being a race car rushing up the hill with the handbrakes on. And then one day, a couple years ago, maybe 5-6 years ago, it came to my awareness that, wow, now I get it what I'm doing. The subconscious programs that I rightfully so established as an 8-year-old and as a 17-year-old reinforced that same belief.
Yes.
Success is dangerous. It's deadly. Once I came to the realization, I became aware of it. Now, that is when I was able to fix it. And voila, we are global. We're embracing the world. Kathy and I, we're embracing the world, both sides.
Yes, here we are.
To the east, to the west, from Australia to the US, over Europe and Hawaii and Fiji and India and over Asia, Africa, Alaska. It's beautiful. And we're so glad that we are able to do that. Now I can today only do what I'm doing today because I recoded my program.
Yes.
I was not aware of.
So that's the great point to bring a tip here to our listeners. So if we are subconsciously sabotaging, how do we bring awareness to that?
That's a good one. I believe it is a good idea to make a self-inventory. Where do you want to be in life and where are you here today? And if there is a big difference between the two, then let's have a look. Where do you spend your energy? Are you running subconscious programs? Is your environment not supporting you? Are there emotionally or verbal abusive people in your environment you need to distance yourself from? And then go and look at your goal, your dream life. And notice how it feels when you think of it. Your body is your indicator. If you're thinking of that, wow, that is so amazing. And then I'm living on the beach and then I'm doing that. And then I have friends all over the world. And then I'm going to go on a sailing trip. And then I'm going to water ski. And then I'm going snow skiing. And then I'm going to do that. And I will have financial freedom, which will give me timely freedom. How does it feel when you think about it right here, right now? And your body is your indicator. When you feel, oh no, you have that funny feeling in your stomach, or you start sweating, or you start really getting racy heartbeat, then you already know something's off. Or when you kick in your self-talk and all kind of wonderfully empowering, I mean that sarcastically, bad statements come around where you say, no, I can't do that ever. No, I don't deserve that. It's impossible. Now, that is also a sign that there are subconscious programs running the show.
Right. So we're looking for the symptoms of our subconscious programming and becoming aware of them. And that will help us find the awareness of root cause. And that is what we need to reprogram.
You put it wonderfully. You put it wonderfully, yes, because you know the root cause. Because the symptom is just an indicator that something's off.
Yes.
And then we look at the symptom. How do we know that it bothers us? And then we go directly into the subconscious mind, fix it there. And then you just come out back into your conscious mind and into conscious thinking. And your body will start believing the new reality that you just recoded. Because once you felt it, your body believes, ah, that's it. And then your body reinforces your new thinking and it's an upward spiral, right? Not an emotional, but a truly, actually a biological upward spiral.
Awesome. Yeah. And Daisy actually has written a book on this, guys. It's called
Software Update for Your Mind. Yeah. It helps a little bit because it's a compilation of quick fixes where you can also take some inventory and that helps you out for sure. And if somebody is in need for a more detailed and more individual subjective support, then we're more than happy to do that because we are soon doing group sessions in our group. And we are going to address some symptoms of a volunteer or two in each session. And the tip of the iceberg is just the highway to the root cause. And we dig in there, make the changes, like I click my fingers, and that's it. How does that sound?
Amazing. Yeah. It sounds amazing. I'm really excited about doing those group sessions. If you want to be a part of those, listeners, come on over to Dream Life Creators Paul Warrior, because all of the deeper work is happening from our group. So you need to be in that group in order to be able to access all these other things that Daisy and I do for people, which we're really excited about, aren't we, Daisy? Because our passion Absolutely. And our purpose is here to help you guys.
Yes.
So please do share out this podcast to your family and friends, because there is something in every episode for everybody. We really talk about stuff that matters, and we give shortcuts to changing your life. And also, we need to send out a big thank you to all of our supporters again. We've had so much positive feedback, and our team is growing as we speak, isn't it, Daisy?
Absolutely. It is absolutely wonderful to see. And I also wanted to say a heartfelt thank you for the financial support that we are receiving through the podcast, because there is a support button on Anchor where we publish our podcast. And we're really grateful for the little and the big gifts, because I can see how people try to express their gratitude and their thankfulness for what we are doing. And thank you. Just simply thank you.
Yes, from the bottom of our hearts, guys. So thanks for tuning into this episode about self-awareness. We were delighted to have you with us. And please tune in next time for our next episode and some more wisdom from Bald and Blonde.
Mindset Evolution. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution podcast. Make sure you like our podcast, comment, and leave us a 5-star review. Subscribe on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. Share with your friends and loved ones. Leave a comment and reach out to us with questions and how we can help you change your life. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Talk to you next time.